Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Some stuff on the floor. It is definitely the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can swing over there and check out the one that went up yesterday. Look at that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, so we're a tad behind with me being under the weather yesterday and having to kind of miss what was going on, but we go back to Tuesday night, Dan, and you were the one who said that you really thought the stage was too big for Luis Severino, and boy, he couldn't prove you any more right. He lasted a third of an inning. Somehow the Twins still couldn't deliver the knockout punch, and the Yankees were able to move on. With the length of it, I think I saw about an inning and a half, which was as long as everything took to kind of play out before I had to turn into for the night. How much of the game did you get to see? And thanks for the Michael K text, by the way, or tweet, excuse me.
I think it was in the fifth. I can't remember if someone hit a home run. I think it was Aaron Judge. And it was just getting too late. I couldn't stay up any longer. Fifth or sixth inning.
Yeah, you know, and then oddly, last night I went to bed and it was 6-0 Diamondbacks. Greinke was rolling. I think it was like the third inning, but I was just feeling terrible, and all I wanted to do was go back to bed. I tried to watch as much of it as I could. And I got up this morning to find out that they ended up winning. The Arizona did win, but it ended up being like an 11-8 game. And I was just like, man, what the heck happened? So I missed like the best part of it.
It was the American League game last night.
So, but yeah, I mean, I guess to use what would probably be a really bad pun, these teams put the Wild in wild card. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are moving on here today. We do have game one of the ALDS. Houston is hosting the Red Sox, and Houston is actually up right now 5-2 in the bottom of the sixth inning. They hit three home runs so far off Chris Sale, but they've all been solo shots. You know, Dan, I was actually up, and I forgot that it was an afternoon start. And I turned it on just in time to see them basically carrying Eduardo Nunez off the field. So the game didn't start really well for the Red Sox.
I forgot it was afternoon.
It's funny because, you know, I always want to watch the games, but I'm not used to them starting it. I think they started at like 140 or something like that, and then it's on the MLB network. So when I remembered it was on, I went searching around, and you know, of course, I checked the Mickey Mouse Network first, then I went over to TBS, then I went over to Fox Sports 1 before I finally realized that it was on the MLB network, and this is where I was going to have to go to watch it. And sure enough, and he was the leadoff hitter of the game, so I didn't miss a ton of it. But yeah, it was just kind of like they were picking him up off the turf. I guess he blew out a knee running to first base on like the first at bat of the game or something. And it was just like, holy crap. So yeah, pretty pretty bad omen for the Red Sox. You know, and then Sale gives up two in the bottom of the first. They were both solo home runs. It was Bregman, then Altuve, who touched him up. You know, the Red Sox got back in it. You know, they managed to tie it with a run in the second and a run in the fourth. And then, you know, Sale surprisingly gave up a couple more runs in the bottom of the fourth and then one in the bottom of the fifth. It looks like he's out of the game now and Joe Kelly is pitching. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I know he's had his second half struggles, but this is kind of a disappointing outing for him, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you go with Chris Sale at number one because, well, that's what he's supposed to be.
You know, yeah, and I mean, he did get the six Ks over five innings and only walked the one guy, but, you know, he gave up three bombs and you just – you know, okay, you know, they were all solo shots, so they weren't hugely damaging, but you're down 5-2 because of it. And, you know, Verlander looks pretty good. He's only given up a couple runs over six innings. I don't know how much longer they'll go with him. Oddly, he's only struck out three guys, so it's not like a dominant Justin Verlander performance, but, you know, he's getting the outs. I mean, they're not getting to him. And now it looks like the Astros have the bases loaded with just one out in the bottom of the sixth. So they got a chance to really, really put this game away and just take control of game one if Brian McCann can, you know, can do something here. But, you know, I guess, Dan, obviously we can throw Verlander out of the conversation here. And just, you know, I was wrong about Nunez. He was actually the second hitter. Your guy, Xander Bogaerts, had made an out before I turned the game on. You know, but I was looking here, you know, and like you were right on with Severino, and then Irvin Santana stunk almost as bad. You know, now Sale has been, you know, bad for Chris Sale. I mean, let's just say it. So we've had three out of four starters just be terrible. You know, what does that lead to tonight? We got Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer. Are we going to get a good start out of anybody else tonight?
Well, we're in Cleveland. If LeBron shows up, no. And oddly, it's his favorite team against his hometown team. How does that work?
Yeah, well, I, you know, Dan, this has been a hot topic of discussion on the Mickey Mouse Network today. Will LeBron show up in a Yankee hat since he has clearly admitted that they are his favorite team? Would he do that to the land?
I mean, I tweeted out, I would, if I were the Indians, I wouldn't allow him in.
Yeah.
He was there.
Not if he's wearing a Yankee hat. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would let them wear the Yankees in. It might do them better.
I thought that was quite interesting. Now, oddly, I believe next year in this situation when he's playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, he's got that Yankee hat on. I don't think he does it tonight. I think it would just be too much BS to have to deal with if he tried to tried to hoist it on tonight. So, we'll have to see, but, luckily Dan, tomorrow I get four games, which I'll actually be able to watch all of them. It's the Red Sox and the Astros. They're going to start early again. It's Drew Pomeranz against your guy, Dallas Keuchel. Oddly, they don't have the network listed. I don't know what network they're going to be on, but I'm sure I'll find the game. The second game is the Yankees at the Indians, game two. It's going to be CeCe tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon at the 3 o'clock start against Corey Kluber. The Cubs kick off at 6:30, Kyle Hendricks, and it's going to be Steven Strasburg. They're going to hold Max Scherzer back. And then it's Arizona at the Dodgers, 9:30. And the Diamondbacks still haven't announced who they're going with. If it's not Robbie Ray, I'll be incredibly shocked. And no surprise at all, the Dodgers go with Clayton Kershaw. You'll be at work for the first couple games, so maybe you can catch a little online. But I assume you're going to watch all of the Cubs game, but how much of the Dodgers game are you going to get to see? You're going to make it up till midnight or 1 o'clock when this thing ends? Because I don't know if I will.
Well, it's Friday night. I should be able to. Unfortunately, the Cubs, I will miss at least the first inning.
So, yeah, well, that's not too bad. You know, and then with the way the games go, you know, especially being game one, they've got to do the announcement. Or no, it's game two, so they won't do the announcements. Or no, it is game one for them Friday. So, yeah, you'll get the guys on the field. Yeah, I was reading it wrong. They have it slotted funny here, and it read as game two to me for some reason. But, yeah, you know, they'll have the guys on the field, and they'll have to do all the announcements. So you may still make it. I don't think they'll start at 6:30. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, I was interested. How surprised are you that it's Kyle Hendricks? You know, I know we talked about it a little bit. He's really been the Cubs' best pitcher down the stretch, but he was last year too, and that didn't mean anything. How surprised are you that they just kind of magically woke up and all of a sudden he's the number one?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit more about the matchup, maybe. But I'm not surprised because I think with Madden, what he's been doing, and when he sticks to what he says, and it has blown up in his face. Now, while he's the guy with all the great ideas and, you know, the quirkiness and the willing to not put together a 1940s game, he does get stronghold into certain things, like the Schwarber being your leadoff hitter for 2 months and not producing. So I think it's a nice change of pace. I think you got to shake it up, not go with what everyone was expecting. But I think everyone was expecting Lester.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, with the way Madden handles the pitching staff in the playoffs, there's quite the chance that Hendricks won't even go five innings. We saw that last year. I don't think he pitched five innings in any of his playoff starts last year. So yeah, don't be surprised if Hendricks just goes one time through the Nationals order and, you know, all of a sudden he's digging in that bullpen trying to find guys. I don't know who he'll have that, you know, he can trust or any of that stuff, but we'll see what he comes up with. Oh, and the Astros did add a couple runs. It's 7-2 right now. They have a first and third with two outs now in the bottom of the seventh. So.
Oh, the Red Sox won out their secret weapon.
which what's that?
Remember David Price out of the bullpen, the secret weapon.
Let me see if he's in. Surprisingly, they went to Joe Kelly, like I was saying. No, it looks like they kept Kelly in the game. He hasn't been charged with any of the runs. He gave up two hits, but all those runs have been charged to Sale. So now. Sale's outing looks even worse. He went five innings and gave up seven earned runs. So, yeah, just a horrible, horrible outing. And Kelly did get out of the inning. So it's 7-2 heading into the top of the seventh. It looks like Verlander's going to go out to start the inning. We'll see if he gets through. And the Red Sox have 7, 8, and 9. It's Rafael Devers or Devers, depending on who you listen to. Sandy Leon, who's actually 2-for-2 with one of the Red Sox RBIs, and the guy Dan traded to me during the baseball season, Jackie Bradley Jr., are the three Red Sox hitters due up. So, there you go. But, you know, I know we're kind of jumping around from here to there, but there's a lot of baseball going on. You know, with Severino's outing being so bad, Dan, how do you handle him if you're the Yankees? I mean, you got to figure he basically just threw a bullpen. I think he only threw about 30 or 35 pitches. You know, if Gray faltered tonight, could you trust him out of the pen? He could be their secret weapon, or, you know, do you wait and give this kid another start? I mean, how are you looking at it?
I don't think they're really left with much choice if they give him another start.
So yeah, I mean, are you and again, obviously he's going to have a really short leash, right? I mean, it's going to be, you know what I mean? To say that, you know, you can't say the leash was really short in the wild card game. 'Cause he didn't get anybody, you know, he struggled badly right from the start. So you didn't have much of a choice but to get him out of there. But, you know, is there a way they can, I don't know, give him some confidence? Is there anything you think they could do for him, you know, that could help him out? I mean, do you think maybe starting on the road would be a better situation so he's not at Yankee Stadium?
I don't know. I think maybe it's one of those things where the first one's out of the way. And, you know, maybe
yeah.
There's less pressure on it. It's not a one-game elimination.
Yeah, and to be fair, it was his first ever postseason start. So, you know, it's not like he had, you know, tons of experience, you know, like a Verlander who's made quite a few postseason starts or, you know, guys like that. This was the first time he's taken the ball. But yeah, I just kind of figured, you know, they're going to need him or they're going to have to find some way, shape or form to make him useful. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's one theory. So roster's locked for now and you get to decide what's going on in the next series if they make it that far.
I did while you mentioned that, I actually wanted to see if I could, I binged the Yankees ALDS roster just to see if he's, you know, if he's on it. I would like to think he is, but I just wanted to kind of double check and, you know, make sure here. Yeah, he definitely is on it. So they're safe there. It looks like the Yankees are going to carry 12 pitchers. So now that was the other kind of question I had. I was a little surprised that they didn't turn to a starter. You know, I can understand bringing Chad Green in to get out of that first inning and okay, you know, you let him go another inning. Were you a little surprised that they didn't turn to a starter to try to get some innings out of and instead really, really wore down their bullpen? I mean, David Robertson pitched 3 1/3 innings. I think Tommy Kahnle pitched 2. I thought I read somewhere that was the longest outing of Robertson's career. Are you worried about after effects for tonight? I mean, I know they've had the one day off, but that's a lot of innings for relievers, you know, especially after a whole year of pitching.
Well, I mean, you hope that Casey can go 6-7 innings tonight.
Yeah, well, it's Sonny Gray tonight, CC tomorrow. So can you get 7 innings out of Sonny Gray? You know, I mean, he is, you know, Mr. Injury Prone. You know, he's not known for going deep into games. You know, against a lineup like Cleveland, you think they could – you think he'll have that tonight? Do you see a magnificent Sonny Gray outing here? In your crystal ball?
I mean, he's definitely kind of beefed up a little bit with the Yanks. So I think as long as he can go at least 5 1/3.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of play it out. You know, Trevor Bauer isn't exactly, you know, what you would consider a top of the rotation starter. I know he put up a lot of wins, but, you know, a lot of that obviously had to do with the fact that, you know, Cleveland was, you know, winning games right and left, and sometimes he's just the beneficiary of a game where, you know, they just happen to rack up a ton of runs. But, you know, yeah, God, I didn't realize. I knew he won a lot of games. I didn't realize he won 17. He was actually 17-9. So, geez. But he did lose his drone. So. Yeah, you know, well, he won 17 games, but his ERA is 4.19. So he doesn't have a problem giving up runs. That's definitely not an issue there. So we'll have to see how it works out here. But you know, did they Did they announce the lineup? I guess I could bing it here instead of just asking you and see if they've got the lineup here. Yes, they do. Here you go. We got looks like the Yankees lineup is pretty similar. Brett Gardner's leading off in left. Aaron Judge is hitting second and right because that's where your best 50 home run hitter goes. Gary Sanchez hits third at catcher. Your guy Didi in the cleanup spot again, Dan, where he belongs after he hit that 3-run bomb. He's at short. Starlin Castro at second. Greg Bird at first. Todd Frazier's up to seventh today. Chase Headley is eighth. He's the DH. And then Aaron Hicks is hitting ninth and playing center field today. For the Indians, it's Francisco Lindor leading off. Here you go, Dan. Jason Kipnis is going to bat second, but he's going to play center field. Jose Ramirez is hitting third at second. Edwin Encarnacion is the DH. Jay Bruce is fifth and right. Carlos Santana is sixth at first base. Lonnie Chisenhall is seventh in left field. Roberto Perez is eighth catching. And Giovanni Urshela is going to hit ninth and play third base. So we got a little bit of movement for the Indians. Are you surprised to see Kipnis in center? And then Chisenhall isn't regularly a left fielder. He's played right mostly. Are you surprised that they're making these moves in game one of a playoff series?
A little bit. I mean, usually you go with what's right to the table, but maybe they've got some scouting on Gray that, you know, how to kind of put that lineup together that way. I don't know what you'd have on him, but everyone hits the left.
Yeah, I had to look here. Yeah, now Kipnis did play 11 games in center field for a total of 71 innings. He handled all 14 of his chances perfectly. He didn't make any errors, and, you know, 14 balls hit out there to him. So, you know, he was okay.
Well, don't forget about all the time you spent in center in the minors.
Yes, those. Well, how many? I know we looked it up the one time. I remember it was very, very, very minimal games, but yeah, something like that. I know they kept saying that it was he played a lot of center field in college, so that was their fallback. There was he was all set there. Now, as far as Chisenhall goes, now he played 11 total games in left field, so the same amount, but only 60 innings. He didn't make any errors while he was out there. So overall, he's actually a pretty good fielder. Even in right field, he only made two errors all season. So he was pretty solid. You know, as weird as it sounds, it can be a big change from left to right field, depending on, you know, who you are and where you're playing. But, I guess we'll have to see if it, you know, if it affects them. Urshela is obviously, you know, in there for their defense. So you think they're, you know, it's going to be one of these things where they go defense first, and then if they get a lead late, you know, Kipnis goes back to second, and Ramirez moves over, and, you know, somebody like Austin Jackson takes over in center or something like that.
I mean, that sounds like a plausible scenario.
So, you know, I thought it was interesting that, you know, maybe does Terry Francona think he's Joe Maddon? Is that what he learned from Maddon last year? And he's going, you know, he's going all Joe Maddon on everybody.
I think so. I was surprised Girardi is going that route too.
Oh, you know, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, you know, for the Yankees, are we ever going to see Matt Holliday? I get it that they're facing some right-handed pitching, but, you know, Matt Holliday's put up some pretty good numbers in his career. You know, are you surprised that we didn't see him in the, you know, the wild card game, and now they went with Chase Headley over him in game one of this series? Are you a little surprised?
Yeah, I keep forgetting he's actually on the team.
Yeah, it's odd, you know, that, you know, and I know he can play a little outfield. You don't really want him to play unless he has to. You know, he can play a little first base, but again, I don't think this is the you know, the type of situation to run him out there and say, hey, guess what? We're going to give you a tryout here at this position. So.
Well, I mean, if he played like five games back in 1960 when he was born, it would have been okay.
Yeah, you know, that does seem to be the thing. As long as you know, you're okay with the one spot, you can do it. But yeah, I would think, you know, especially kind of in a situation like this, you might want a, you know, a little bit of a veteran bat in the lineup. But you know, I mean, it's been working, and I mean, I know, I guess Headley is a veteran, so it's not like they're, you know, running some guys out there who don't have any experience. I just kind of thought it would, you know, you'd see Matt Holliday.
Yeah, well, I just find it interesting. I mean, I think the game is due to just put pitchers in batting practice a lot more often. Because, I mean, what's up with, you know, what's kind of going on with the game when your designated hitter, your supposedly professional hitter, is batting eighth in the lineup?
Yeah. Well, aren't they all professional hitters now?
Yeah, well, but I mean, where is the real value in a designated hitter anymore?
Yeah, you know, it's a little odd for the Yankees. I mean, yeah, it's almost a, you know, I mean, like with the Indians, you know, it's Edwin Encarnacion. You know, I mean, he's definitely what you would describe as a, you know, a professional hitter. But yeah, for the Yankees to go to, you know, to Chase Headley, who I know has had a, you know, had a better year than I think a lot of people thought he had. So, yeah,
well, I mean,
you know, I don't know, maybe they're, because he's their guy.
The DH has turned into, well, you know, we kind of got stuck with this older player, and we don't really want him on the field, so we'll have him DH until he's no longer under contract. Or is that just me?
Well, you know, it's always been kind of the spot for the older guys who have been winding down their careers. But, yeah, you know, I mean, normally it's a, you know, an older power guy. You know, not so much, I mean, you know, and I know once upon a time Chase Headley did hit, I think it was 30 home runs or 28 home runs or something like that, but... That was a long time ago, and I believe he was a Padre. I actually have to double check my math here, because he had that one fantastic year, and then like a lot of guys do, cashed in with a big free agent contract. Yeah, he hit 31 back in 2012 with the Padres. But other than that, now this is really interesting, Dan. He's never hit more than 14. Which was last year with the Yankees. This year he hit 12.
Jeez. Gone down.
So, yeah, it's an interesting look when you, I mean, you don't think of him as your, you know, your prototypical designated hitter, but I guess he is hitting .273. Like I said, he's had a pretty solid year for the Yankees. So, yeah. He started at third, then he moved over to first when they got Frazier. He actually played a little bit at second, but not enough for it to really count for anything. So
it's enough. All you need is one game and you're a professional second baseman. Yeah, going back to what you said about having a 50 home run guy batting second, I mean, you would almost figure he would be the DH batting third or fourth.
Yeah, you know, Judge is actually a pretty good defensive player. So I can understand them, you know, wanting him in the lineup. You know, you wonder, I mean, you know, Sanchez is a little weak defensively as a catcher, but I'm guessing since they're only carrying two on the playoff roster, they didn't want to start Romine and have Sanchez DH. I mean, maybe they like the fact that Headley's a switch hitter and, you know, they don't have to worry much about it. You know, in the wild card game, it was Jacoby Ellsbury as their DH. You know, he's the other guy out of their lineup tonight. So there's no Ellsbury, no Holiday. So they got a lot of veteran experience on the bench. I don't know. I wonder if they happen to lose or something odd happens, if there'll be a lot of questions about the way Girardi put the lineup together.
Yeah, but, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, with the way guys are subbed in and out, I mean, there's no telling. Obviously, I think except for Sanchez, that at any given moment someone can be replaced. You know, whether it be for defense or, you know, the matchup's better. You know, because I think the difference with Girardi being a coach in the National League or the American League is he played in the National League. Did I call him Jody or Girardi?
Oh, either or. We'll take it. So.
Yeah. I was thinking of Jody Davis for a second there. Don't ask. Former Cub catcher.
As long as you don't start singing the song Harry Carey used to, we're okay here. So.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think that could be the difference maker, too, is if you've got the veteran experience that can come off the bench. That might be a positive.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, one thing you can consider. You know, they will have that if needed in, you know, a way. They'll have guys to go to that the moment shouldn't be too big for. You know, they should be able to step right in. I mean, you know, I know Ellsbury's won a World Series. Holiday has plenty of playoff experience. I don't remember if
he
won
run
one with the Cardinals. Yeah, so, you know, they're definitely, they're definitely going to be, you know, okay. It's, you know, it's not going to be too big of a deal. You know, how humorous was it, though, Dan, that it was two former White Sox pitchers and a former Cub that closed out the wild card game for the Yankees?
That's how the ball cookie crumbles, right?
So that was kind of interesting. But you know, bouncing over, you know, last night again, we had one of those odd baseball situations. I don't know if you saw this one, but Ariel Prieto, who is a former major league pitcher, he's a Diamondbacks coach as well as a translator. Well, Dan, he was wearing his Apple Watch on the bench last night during the game. Now, there haven't been any cheating allegations or anything like that. I think it might have been just a situation where it was kind of like, well, you know, he possibly forgot to take it off. Do you assume he's going to get a nice little fine from Major League Baseball? Because, you know, electronics are illegal in the dugout, even though it is, you know, 2017. That's kind of what baseball is. So, but yeah, you don't think there's any further implications for this? It'll kind of just be, hey, we're going to drop this fine on you and that's it?
I think so. There might be a small investigation. Nowhere near an NFL investigation, but.
Yeah. Oh, the Astros added another run. It's now 8-2 after seven innings. So they head to the top of the eighth. It will be, I got to double check here and see if Verlander is still in the game or if they have went to the bullpen. No, Verlander just did go six, gave up the two runs on six hits, struck out three, walked two. Chris Devinsky worked the seventh and struck out two of the three guys he faced. So we'll see. Normally, you know, but now that it's a bullpen game, you got to assume Devinsky will be out, and they'll go on to a Luke Gregerson or somebody like that as they try to get the game to Ken Giles. But yeah, the Astros up comfortably now 8-2 in game one of their ALDS series with the Red Sox.
Well, what I was going to ask you earlier too is, do you think the experience Verlander versus Sale with the postseason made a difference?
Yeah, you know, they always say it does, but you know, you kind of think, I mean, talent is talent, right? I mean, when you're as good as Sale, but you know, he did make them mistakes and got taken deep. And, you know, Verlander didn't make those mistakes. So you have to wonder if maybe him being there before, as they would say it, really had something to do with, you know, the way this game goes. I mean, as good as Sale's been all these years, this was his first ever playoff start. The White Sox never got there. You know, all the years he was, you know, the best pitcher on their team and, you know, racking up, you know, all the wins. And remember one year he was actually the closer and racked up quite a bit of, I think he had a 30 save season or something like that. I have to double check. Maybe it wasn't that many, but I remember him stepping into the bullpen role and closing things up there that one year. No, God, it was only 8. I was way off there. But yeah, there's just, no postseason experience on Sale's part. And, you know, this is a guy here. I can pull up his record for you here real quick for his career. He's 91-58. So he wins 61% of his games. His career ERA is 2.98. Now he's never won a Cy Young, but from 2012 to 2016, he finished no worse than 6th. So it's a 6th, 2/5, a 3rd, and a 4th. This year, it looks like he's finally going to get that Cy Young. He's a 300, he led the league with 308 strikeouts, 214 in a 3rd innings pitched. He's a big time starting pitcher, but you wonder, I mean, that first time you step on a playoff mound, and, you know, again, it's just his first start, in the playoffs. Not his fault, but you get a guy like Verlander who, he's won a World Series. He's pitched in these big games here. I can tell you, today was his 17th postseason start. So, that's a lot. I mean, 98 and a 3rd innings coming into this game. He was only 7-5, so believe it or not, he didn't have that great of a record, but his ERA is really good at 3.39, and that showed today as he limited damage right and left when he got in trouble early. So yeah, maybe you have to give a little credit to, a guy with a lot of postseason experience here, and, maybe that's something to look for. In these other games, Sonny Gray has minimal postseason experience where, Trevor Bauer just went through it with the Indians last year. I'm trying to remember. I think Gray only has one postseason start. I have to double check. Maybe he has a more. No, yeah, he's got two. He's got a very good ERA of 2.08, but he did lose one of those starts. So that had to be a tough loss because he only gave up 3 total runs in his 2 starts. So that must have been definitely a rough outing for him there. But yeah, we'll have to see where, Bauer went through it, with the Indians last year. And, I know he had his issues, kind of right and left with what went on, but still, he got the opportunity to pitch, which, could make for a big deal here. In his career, he's appeared in 5 postseason games. He started 4 of them. He is 0-2, and his ERA is 5.27. So it will be a pretty good test to see, you know, how that measures up. If, you know, Bauer's, you know, a little bit more experience matches up, you know, against Gray. And again, you know, Bauer, you have to remember, has World Series experience. You know, Gray was just in a couple, you know, either wild card games or, you know, I think they were wild card games. You know, Bauer has ALDS, ALCS, and World Series experience. So, you know, it shouldn't be too big for him. You wonder if Gray might have a little nerves coming in. So, yeah, it'll be a pretty good test to see how that shakes out or how it works out. So,
it will be huge, Dan. It's going to be an exciting series with the Yanks and the Indians.
All right, well, you know, in some non-baseball playoff news, Dan, Jabba Chamberlain announced his retirement. What are you going to remember Jabba for the most?
His name?
So, yeah, definitely a, you know, he had so much, I guess you would say, promise, and it just, it didn't go. You know, the Yankees kind of bumped him around. You know, he was going to be the closer, and then they decided he could start, and then it just kind of turned out he couldn't do either. So, yeah, here, oddly though, Dan, believe it or not, he's going to end his career with a winning record. He's 25-21 overall in his career. He's got a 3.81 ERA, just 7 saves though. So after all that talk of make him a closer, he really only picked up 7 saves. You know, 7 years with the Yankees, then he bounced around a little bit, a couple with the Tigers, really short-term stint with the Royals, and then he wrapped up with the Indians. He pitched 20 games in 2016 for them, and actually had a pretty solid 2.25 ERA coming out of their bullpen. But, yeah, that was it for the Jabba. He's all done. You know, I guess the big thing they'll remember him for is when he got, you know, he was pitching for the Yankees in the playoff series, oddly against the Indians, and they had that attack of, what were they, mites or whatever that was, when all the bugs kind of swarmed the field, and he just happened to be the guy on the mound when it went down. So I guess, you know, through everything he did, that's going to be his career highlight.
Well, you know, at least he got to live the dream and pitch in not only Major League Baseball, but for the pinstripe.
So, you know, he worked it out. Yeah. You know, and then just another kind of, you know, baseball thing going on. Believe it or not, Dan, it looks like David Wright is actually going to try to come back. He talked about this. He had a shoulder surgery last month. Now, I believe it was yesterday, the report here says he had a surgery on his lower back. So, man, I mean, I get it. This guy loves the game and stuff, but, you know, it's almost to the point where I wish he would just walk away. You know, he's just had so many injuries.
I mean, he still has, 5 years left on his contract.
Yeah, you know, he was another one of those very long contract signing.
For $100 million.
So.
Yeah, but nobody can top Bobby Bonilla.
No. Well, you know, but yeah, you know, he may be the smartest guy to ever play baseball, right? I think he's still getting paid by the Mets.
Years.
Wright is signed through 2020. So yeah, he made $20 million this year. He makes $20 million next year, and then it's $15 million in 2019, and it drops to $12 million in 2020. So,
you know, and I don't want to get too financial, but I know you didn't really look into it, and it's kind of quick, but it would be interesting to know what the implications of retiring but due to that contract.
Yeah, he played 37 games for the Mets last season, played 38 in 2015.
Wow.
So, you know, last year, you know, he didn't hit last year. He hit just 226. Did hit seven homers before they just shut him down. You know, he was kind of done. I know he tried to play for minor league. He tried to do a rehab for Port St. Lucie late in the year, but it only lasted three games, and he only hit 100 before it was just, you know, it was the end of it for him. He had to, you know, had to go back and just kind of call it quits or shut it down for the year. But yeah, you know, he's 34. See if they got his birthday listed here. He'll be 35 in December. Yeah, you know, you have to wonder if there's, you know, if there's anything left. I mean, you know, remember one point in time, this guy was a Gold Glove third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a 30 homer guy.
Yeah, I think one of the, you know, in retrospect, you can't tell a guy this at the time, but he would have been better off shutting down any type of baseball activity after, you know, what I think he said 37th game, and just getting any and all surgery he needed and just not doing any baseball activity.
Yeah.
And waiting until, you know, obviously having this season off. I think that's more where I was getting at, you know, shutting it down last year and then taking this entire season off, having the surgery before the season even started. And who knows, he could have, you know, started resuming baseball activities at this point in his career, and he may have had a little bit in the tank to kind of give, but it's so hard to say. I mean, of all the professional sports, you know, you can't really say that one's harder than the other when it comes to the length of the game. You know, obviously Major League Baseball has the most amount of games, but they all put different amount of stress on the body. So it's hard to say if he could have really held up until 2020 for, you know, even 130 games a season.
Yeah, you know, and you do wonder with a team like the Mets. I mean, we're looking at a guy that's in, he'll be going into his 14th season.
Wow.
You know, they're kind of on the rebuild. You know, they dealt off a lot of their veteran guys. You know, you have to wonder where his place will be. I mean, I guess he could be the Mets version of Jose Abreu, but, you know, I'm sure if he could play, he would probably embrace the role, though, right, as long as he's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the cool things about David Wright is he was, you know, we can't put him at the same level as Chipper Jones, but, you know, I'm no New York Mets fan. Well, I'm a fan of all teams in baseball, actually, but, you know, we're not from the Bronx and all that, so we don't know how much he means to that team, but I think when you think about baseball and the way the game is today, I think it does give him a little edge or a little something, the fact that he's only been in a Mets uniform.
Yeah, you know, that's always a big plus. You know, that's one of the things I like, is when a guy can manage to, you know, play his entire career with, you know, with one team, because that's a rarity now. But, you know, I do wonder, Dan, you know, like I said, he's going through all this. You know, with the exception of this year, as far as salaries go, you know, $15 million and $12 million isn't a huge amount for a team to swallow. Do you think if he proves he can hit on a regular basis and stays healthy, say, you know, say come All-Star break next year, he's played 70 of the 81 games, because we'll just split it in half. Is there possibly an American League team that would look at him as a designated hitter and, you know, plug him in? Again, you know, he's not he's not a classic power guy. But, you know, I mean, again, we're looking at a guy who's a 296 lifetime hitter. You know, he does have 242 home runs. You know, again, you're looking at a veteran bat. I mean, could, you know, and then when you get to those final 2 years, again, $15 million is nothing for a team nowadays. And then $12 million is even less. Is it possible maybe we see him in a different uniform if he's he's healthy and performs next season?
I think so, but I also think it's rough when you said he had some lower back surgery. Because you know, the way things work, especially with today's game and the things you can do with it, you know, my advice to him would be to take his time. And as long as you have the contract with the Mets, there's really no reason to rush it. I know, you know, you want to get back on the field, do what you love and all that good stuff, but there's a little bit of Derrick Rose, you know, when you're sitting in the boardroom, but I don't want to put it that way. It's, you know, you've got the 3 years, and if you're able to play in it, you're already fine. You know, no one's going to take on your contract if you're hurt. And with baseball, they can't, I mean, yeah, they can just cut them, I think, but they'd be stuck paying them anyways. So, I mean, I don't see why you would need to rush it and really be ready for, you know, I guess that would my advice to him and his agent. I don't know how this would work, but it would be to not rush it, not be ready for spring training. Do your own spring training in March or April if it takes that long. You know, and push it out to where maybe he can be in the Mets uniform at City Field in May or June. I know that's not the most ideal situation.
Now, you know, we do have to switch up here real quick because I know we only got about 10 minutes roll. And, of course, being Thursday night, there is a, you know, there is a football
Blackhawks
game.
Babe.
But, Dan, I got to ask you. Yeah, that too. I got to ask you, Dan, right off the bat, what the hell was Cam Newton thinking?
Did he come up with a new dance? Did I miss it?
No. Did you not see his press conference yesterday?
No, I've been strictly baseball.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he fielded a question from a female reporter.
Uh-oh.
And she asked him about something. I'm trying to see if I can find the quote here real quick. But she asked him something about the physicality of Devin Funchess running his routes. And Cam's comment was, here it is. It's funny to hear a female reporter talk about routes. And then he said again, it's funny, before he went on to answer the question. So he just kind of stuck his foot in his mouth. Now, as you know, he was doing national commercials for Dannon. They've already announced that they're dropping him. You know, of course, we'll get the entire, you know, heartfelt Cam Newton apology on, you know, how he's sorry. But, Dan, I mean, in this day and age, I can't figure out what the hell this guy was thinking.
I mean, his fall from grace is it's gonna kick him in the ass harder than anybody. Because he's just, you know, he went from almost a Super Bowl hero to Super Bowl zero. And, you know, the next season, I, you know, took off my hoodie and practiced a new dance for a new touchdown dance, which didn't help me get back to the Super Bowl. And, you know, now this, I mean, he's kind of taking himself out of the game, wouldn't you say? I mean, that little kid is still warming his arm up, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the oddest part about the whole thing, Dan, is now we're looking at a guy who just, you know, is just coming off what you have to consider as a huge win on the road against the New England Patriots. And he wasn't smart enough to not answer like this. I mean, it's not that hard to just answer the question.
No,
you know, I mean, at this point in time, you know, he would have been better off just saying, yeah, I'm only here so I don't get fined.
Mm-hmm. Well, not to dumb myself down, but if I were sitting next to her and that was my question, you know, obviously he wouldn't have said that, but let's be honest. If I was a beat reporter, I mean, sure, I'd know more about the game than I do now, but you know, the way media goes, you take the job you can get, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, you know, a guy that was given the scores in between Cubs broadcast and Blackhawk broadcast is now the play-by-play guy for the Boston Bruins. So, you know, the broadcasting kind of takes you, you know, in the direction that you want to be in, and that is sports. And if I were asking that question, it would be just as funny because I don't know a damn thing about routes. You know, so she's obviously doing her work. You know, I was just glad it didn't go sexual because you said the word physicality, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we don't know what he was laughing about. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So, you know, but yeah, it was just like, why, Cam? Just why? You
well,
know,
he,
I mean,
you
if
know,
you're riding high.
Exactly, be so hard on him, but he was kind of in a position to make himself America's sweetheart, so to speak. Had he won that
Super
Bowl, he would have just been, he would have been on top of the world. And now he's just kind of falling back.
Yeah, you know, and it all started at that Super Bowl press conference. Remember when he walked out?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was just kind of, you know, the beginning of the end for Cam right there. But, yeah, I mean, these were just, I mean, I heard the comments, I don't remember if it was yesterday or this morning or when I heard it, and literally it was just one of those things where I just start shaking my head because there's, you know, you just can't do this in today's world. You know, I mean,
no.
You know, years back in the, you know, I don't know, the 70s or something. Yeah, okay. You know, everybody would have had a good laugh about it and you could have made some sexist joke. But now, you know, I mean, there's just as many women covering the NFL as men. Like you said, I mean, they get their assignments where they get them. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. You know, like I know one of my favorite sports writers to read is actually a female. Her name's Mina Kine. Sadly, she works for the Mickey Mouse Network. She's a senior writer there. But she did a fantastic article a couple weeks ago on Aaron Rodgers. You know, and it's just kind of like, well, obviously he's a football player. It helps that she's a Seahawks fan. So that kind of, you know, makes me lean that way. But that's just how it goes. So, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like you were mentioning, I mean, this is. So.
Yeah, you know,
but we do have a football game. No. Uh-oh.
I was just going to say the Minnesota League won the WNBA championship.
Woohoo! Yes, they did. I think that's four titles for the Lynx.
It's ridiculous.
So they're definitely, they are a dynasty. So
yeah.
I saw some highlights from that game, so. But since we are running out of time here, let me hit the music. Just so you know, I don't have Mr. Fantasy yet, but you and I are going with the Patriots tonight, and Dan is going with the Buccaneers. So the jinx will not happen tonight, people. All right, you know the deal while we're gone, though. Well, actually, first, Dan and I will be back tomorrow at 5:30, but you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out that blog that went up yesterday. Get yourself caught up. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. Now, Dan will probably will tweet back to you while he's jogging with his wife because I saw on Facebook she's looking for a jogging partner, and I just know Dan is going to step up and go with her. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can find our pod TuneIn.com. Now, Dan, be careful running with that back, okay? Roll out. Roll out. Roll out.